we're looking for a topic to cover us over the next couple of Sundays. So a suggestion that since usually I'm not around in the summer, so we very rarely get a chance to talk publicly about the Inyanim of the 3 weeks and the 9 days, a little bit of the Tisha B'Av, it's still a little bit on the early side. Hopefully here we have a Mikdash, won't be the Maaser, but we'll take the opportunity over the next few weeks to try to give a little bit of an overview of some of the halachas and the minhagim of this period that's coming up. So the idea of observing Avelis during this time of year, the 3 weeks, and the 9 days, Shmosh HaChamot Tisha B'Av, etc. So this is clearly rooted in the halacha. The sugya in the Maseches Tainis speaks about Shavuot Shechalbot Tisha B'Av, about the unique halachas that are relevant on the week that Tisha B'Av falls out of. The Mishnah also talks about Mishnah Nichnas Av Mema'atim B'Simcha. There's a concept of Avelis already that begins from Rosh Chodesh Av, and we'll see as we go on what some of the differences between the Rosh Chodesh Av and the Shavuot Shechalbot Tisha B'Av is. The idea that the 3 weeks we colloquially call the 3 weeks. That term 3 weeks is not a halachic term. It's not even called the Gimel Shavuos. It's called the Ben HaMetzarim. That's the official term that the Poskim use it. Somebody told me that they saw a whole sefer out about it was called the halachas of the Gimel Shavuos. So the person thought that it was all about the Gimel Shavuos and Maseches Ksubos, about going back there and so on, not going back there. So they realized it was about the 3 weeks. That nobody uses that term, Gimel Shavuos. It's not a halachic term. But anyway, but this idea of observing Avelis, quasi Avelis, for the 3 weeks doesn't really have its root in the Gemara. Of course, Shavuos B'Tammuz has its root in the Gemara. Shavuos B'Tammuz appears in the Gemara. Shavuos B'Tammuz appears in the Pasuk in Novi, in the Novi Zechariah. So the fact that there were tragic events that occurred on Shavuos B'Tammuz and there were tragic events that occurred on Tisha B'Av, so the Mishnah and the end of Maseches Tainis already makes this connection, that there's clearly some correlation between the 2 days. But the notion that the 3 weeks in between them is labeled as the time of Avelis, that doesn't really have its root in the Gemara. It has its root in the Rishonim, it has its root in Minhagim Yisrael, so we'll try to speak a little bit about it. For the most part, many of the Minhagim of the 3 weeks are primarily Ashkenazi Minhagim. The Ramo quotes these Minhagim in the beginning of Hilchos Tisha B'Av to observe a whole series of different Minhagim of Avelis. Many of the Minhagim of Avelis of the 3 weeks are synonymous with the Minhagim Avelis of Svira, so we're familiar with them, we spoke about them a little bit in the past. The two Minhagim that the Ramo draws our attention to is one is the Minhag of not getting married during the 3 weeks, and the other is the Minhag of not getting haircuts during the 3 weeks. When it comes to not getting married, so that was the original minhag, not to have an actual chasana during the 3 weeks. This was extended. Mogen Avraham quotes that this minhag carries over even to not chasanas, to any other kinds of partying, and with dancing and singing and a kind of musical, those types of activities. Those are all included in the minhag of not, quote unquote, not getting married during the 3 weeks. There is a discussion in the contemporary poskim about how far this idea goes in terms of our kind of music. In the days of Mogen Avraham, they didn't have tape music. So Bizman Hazeh, we also don't have tape music. Now we have CD music, MP3 music, whatever it is. Tapes are a thing of the past. The same way that I tried to describe to my kids once what a phonograph was, what a record player is. So I was like trying to explain to them, we'd have something from the 1600s. So that's the way it's going to be when we try to explain to my kids what MP3, the next generation, what the MP3s are. Anyway, so what's the din, what's the minig, we should say properly? Are these kinds of tape musics included under this minig of not having a musical and dancing and singing, etc.? So this question was posed to Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Rav Moshe was very machmer on this. And the reason why Rav Moshe was machmer on this was that Rav Moshe presents the sugya at the beginning of a second gittin, where the Gemara discusses in general listening to music, nothing to do in the 3 weeks, just in general, is it appropriate to be listening to music or not? What could be the problem of listening to music? So the Gemara says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Chachamim instituted a whole series of different tikkun, takanos, to be Zeichel HaMikdash. So one of the things that Chazal instituted was that they said one shouldn't really have music, one shouldn't really have types of instruments, things of that nature. That would be a violation of Zeichel HaChorban. So there was Machlekes and Rishonim. What exactly did the Chachamim prohibit? So the Rambam assumes that they asked all kind of musical instruments. So any play, everything is also according to the Rambam. And Tosus disagrees. Tosus says that if you look carefully at the sources that the Gemara quotes for this prohibition, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk, "Bashir lo yishtu yayin," that you shouldn't have singing and dancing and music together with wine. That's considered to be a party. That's considered to be such a levedik event. That's considered to be inappropriate. That's what the Chachamim said one shouldn't do as a zeichel mikdash. But just regular singing, regular music. So Tosus holds that's not a problem. How do we pass in halacha this machlekes Tosus in the Rambam? So the Ramah's make, or the Ramah in the Hilchos Tisha B'Av, the end of the Hilchos Tisha B'Av writes that minig, the Ashkenazi custom is to be lenient about this and to permit other kinds of music as long as it's not in the context of just wine. If it's in the context of wine, then even the Ramah agrees that it would be a problem. There's a further machlekes ha-poskim. What if it's in the context of wine plus food? So according to some poskim, if it's wine, it's wine. Wine and music don't mix. That's a no-no. That's a zeichel mikdash, you're not allowed to have. And others say now that if you have just wine, it's asar. Because you go and sit in the bar and you're drinking wine and playing your guitars, that's a problem. But if you're having a regular meal and you have a little bit of music in the background, so you're serving wine at the meal, that's not bashir la yishtu yayin, that's the lechem yishtu yayin, the bosa yishtu yayin, that's okay. Only if it's mamash, just a wine party together with music, that's what the chachamim prohibited. So we have three opinions in the poskim. What were the guidelines of this takana of zeichel mikdash, that you shouldn't have music? According to the Rambam, it was all inclusive. It's, you know, any singing, any music, anything is all also zechel mikdash. According to Tosfos, it's only also in the context of wine and within sheet. This is a Tosfos. You have a further machlokas whether it's only if it's just wine alone, or even if it's wine plus other things. Water is for sure. Okay. So the Ramah is makel on the shayla, and it's unclear whether we should be makel on the further end of the shayla, whether we should permit it with wine, food, and music. So this is an issue that sometimes restaurants have in terms of hashgachas, have issues with. Sometimes restaurants have music, sometimes they have live shows. And the question is this appropriate? So if the restaurant is not serving wine, then it's okay. But if the restaurant is serving wine, should we ask that or not? So there are certain hashgachas that said that we should not give hashgacha in these kinds of places, because according to many poskim, even bedas satosfas, even bedas ramah, this would be problematic, even though there's food also. But if there's wine and music don't mix it, that's what many say. So this was an issue in certain restaurants in the city that used to have live shows. So the Hashkach organizations wanted to yank the Hashkach unless they stopped doing the show. Nothing to do with kashrus, but you can't have a situation where a person's coming to the restaurant and they're violating a din derabanan of Zeichel HaMikdash. So there was a compromise that was given based on Tosis writes that if it's a Suda's mitzvah, then everything is mutl. We do it all the time. We go to a chasana, they're serving wine, there's music in the background, so that's okay. So Tosis writes that this was never instituted by Mokom Suda's mitzvah. So one can argue that a Suda Malav Malka is considered to be a Suda's mitzvah. If it is, the Gemara says, what is Mechir Thi Malav Malka Mutzah Shabbos? I mean, when I was a kid, so Malav Malka, I never really heard of Malav Malka when I was a kid. Malav Malka was the thought, that's what they, the tzedakah organizations in the winter, that's when they, to raise some money, that was Malav Malka. I remember when I came to camp, so they told us there's a mitzvah to have Malav Malka. I thought, well, mitzvah, man, I never heard of this thing. So then I got a little bit older, then I realized that it says in the Gemara Befesh, it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's a real mitzvah, one is supposed to eat Malav Malka. And it says in the postgame that L'chadchila, one is really supposed to wash from Malav Malka. Yeah, but b'shasad chak, you can be yotzi with cake, maybe with fruit. But l'chadchila, one is supposed to wash and love malka. This is equally true in the summer as well as the winter. So even though Shabbos is over at 9:30, it's still supposed to have love malka. So last week when I was in Berlin for Shabbos, so Shabbos was over at 11:30. So we still had to have love malka. You have to eat it quickly because chatzos is 10 minutes later. So because the whole night is only 20 minutes, so you have to eat it quick and love malka. But that's what they right after Abdullah. So the bacham went down to the dining room to grab piece of challah from love malka. So the one can argue Malav Malka is a mitzvah, so then maybe that permits us to have wine at the Malav Malka. So that's what the certain restaurant was permitted to have their show on Motzei Shabbos. Means they could have the singing and the musical interlude on Motzei Shabbos, but the rest of the week they can't. So I don't know, it's a little funny because this is Malav Malka. If the person is coming to eat his meal at 11 o'clock at night on Motzei Shabbos, they have to go into the theater, whatever it is. So that's Malav Malka, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. So that was the hatan that was given. But I call upon him, there is a whether it's appropriate to have music not in the context of wine. So the Minig Yisrael, the Minig, at least in the Ashkenazi community, has always been Lahokel and the Shaila following the Ramah. So Ramesh writes in his Tshuva that he doesn't think it's really right. He thinks that Mikra Din the Ramam's right. The Mikra Din Tais is a Chiddush. Mikra Din music should really be Asur all the time. Therefore, Ramesh writes his personal Hoga was never to listen to music. He writes that he felt that listening to music is always considered to, unless it's a Mocha Mitzvah, Chasen or something, he felt stopped to listen to music would be problematic, and even tape music, all these things he thought were included in the Gezeirah, the Stakona of Zeichel HaChorban. So Rabbi Moshe writes, not everybody follows me, other people follow their Ramah. So Rabbi Moshe writes, but at least in the 3 weeks, at least during Svir, at least certain times of the year, we should all strive to the level of the Ramah, because the Rabbi Moshe felt the Ramah is the Iker Adin. So therefore Rabbi Moshe said that during these times of the year, the more appropriate thing to do is not to listen to, even to tape music, in deference to the Shita Sarambam. So others have questioned, and others have said, But Lamais, we don't pass like the Rambam. It means there are two different issues. One is the issue of Zeichel and Mikdash all year long, which the halacha is like the Ramah, the Minig Olam was against the Rambam. And the second is, what was the Minig Yisrael about the 3 weeks? So others wanted to say that if we pass it like the Ramah all year long, we don't accept the Rambam. And now we have an independent question, should we be Machmir in the 3 weeks on other tapes and CDs, etc.? So one can argue that we're not Mechiv to Mechadish Ben Hagim Bizman Hazel. The Minig Yisrael for hundreds of years has been not to have chassidus, not to have live bands, not to have orchestras, things like that, but tapes and CDs, which didn't exist in the days of the Magen Avraham, so we're not mechuyev to make up new Minhag Yisrael. So that was the defense of those who didn't accept the tshuva of Moshe. So yesh v'yesh. So there are some today who are machber on this, who will not listen to the, won't turn on Nachum Siegel, won't turn on the CDs, won't turn on, maybe Nachum has, what's it called?
Format?
Yeah, he's got his 3 week, whatever. He's got, I don't know, playing all those Buffalo all day. I don't know, whatever he's playing. So there are some who won't listen to any music during the 3 weeks, even tape music, and then others will make it. So there are different minhagim about this. It's hard to say, you know, outright what the practice should be. The yesh v'yesh.
Would this cover crowd music for kids?
Kids can be. The policy in our house is that whoever wants to be Makel has a right to be Makel, and I don't turn off them. If my kid turns on the CD, I don't turn it off. So that's the policy. I didn't say I turn it on, but I said I don't turn it off. In addition to the minig of not having chasanas and the extension of possible extension to music, so the Ramah quotes that we have a minig not to get haircuts during the 3 weeks. So the truth is that the idea of not getting haircuts as a symbol of avelos, this has its roots in the Gemara itself. The Gemara says that during Shavuot, Shechabel, Tisha B'Av, during the week of Tisha B'Av itself, so Meikra Din, one is not allowed to get a haircut. Also, Sapal Chabes. But the fact that we extend this all the way back to Shavuot Matamos, that's rooted only in a minig, and that's only the Ashkenazi minig. The Sfarim do not have this minig. Including this minig of not getting haircuts is a big machlokas. We spoke about this in the past in other contexts about Sfiras Omer. But whether this carries over to shaving as well, is that considered also to be like getting a haircut? So there was the famous machlokas in Rav Moshe and the Rav as to how we're supposed to view shaving during the period of both of the 3 weeks as well as during the period of Svira. So Rav Moshe was of the opinion that shaving is the same as haircuts. So the minig is not to get a haircut, the minig is not to shave. So Rav Moshe held that you're not under normal circumstances, you're not permitted to shave during the 3 weeks. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe concedes that this is only b'taras minig, it's not a halacha, it's only a minig. And therefore Rav Moshe says, whatever is also b'taras minig, one is not mechuyev to suffer hefsed mamon to fulfill a minig. If it's going to be a significant financial loss, then one is not obligated to do so to observe a minig. So therefore Rav Moshe writes, it's a person's parnassos on the line, a person is a chveis, and a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is that he interacts with other people, and he feels that he's going to lose patients, he's going to lose customers, he's going to lose business, whatever it is, if he walks around for 3 weeks not shaving. So Rav Moshe said he's permitted to shave for the purposes of business. So according to Rav Moshe, then it's a case-by-case basis, and it's a day-by-day basis. So if a guy's on vacation for a week, so he shouldn't shave, he has to go back to the office, and he does shave. So according to Rav Moshe, it's fundamentally also to shave during the 3 weeks or during Svira, except if it comes some kind of a tzorech of Makom Hefsed Mamon, it would be permissible. This is Rav Moshe's theory by other minhagim also. Rav Moshe's famous truth about wearing a yarmulke at work. Rav Moshe writes that if a person's afraid that it's going to interfere with his parnasa, so then he is not mechuyev to wear a yarmulke at work, you're not mechuyev to suffer a Hefsed Mamon. But again, it's a case by case basis. Each person has to decide whether it's considered to be an appropriate Hefsed Mamon.
Did Rav Moshe hold that also with Shavuot Shechabot Tishvah?
No, so Shavuot Shechabot was a little bit different because Shavuot Shechabot was Meikra Adin. So Rav Moshe's kula would apply Lechor until Shavuot Shechabot Tishvah. Very often, Shavuot Shechabot Tishvah is very, very short. This year, where's Tishbev on a Thursday? It's the longest possible, right? It's the only real Shavuot Shechabot. 90% of the time, you don't even get a real Shavuot Shechabot Tishbev. If Tishbev's on Shabbos, so then there's no Shavuot Shechabot Tishbev. If Tishbev's on Sunday, then there's no Shavuot Shechabot Tishbev. If Tishbev's on Tuesday, so you have 2 days of Shavuot Shechabot Tishbev. One of them is there if Tishbev. And if Tishbev's on Thursday, Tishbev can only fall out in 1 or 4 days. So if it falls out on Thursday, like this year, then you end up with the longest possible Shavuot Shechabot Tishbev. But you get the cool of doing laundry on Thursday night, Friday, so you gain some and lose some. Anyway, so the Rav disagreed with Ramesh. The Rav held that shaving for a person who shaves every day doesn't really fall under the issur of haircuts for the following reason. The Rav had a theory about Uchas Avelos, a very brisk oriented analysis of Uchas Avelos, that the Rav you know, like Rav, like Reb Chaim looked at everything in halacha categories. Everything's got to fit into a specific halacha category. So the Rav looked at the minhagim of the 3 weeks and the minhagim of Svira and said, it's got to be a halacha category called something Nuchas Avelos. So there are different categories of Nuchas Avelos. So there's the halachas of Shiva, and there's the halachas of Shloshim, and the halachas of Yud Beis Chodesh for a parent. So what is Svira? What is the 3 weeks? It's not Shiva, there's no question about it. There are things that you're not allowed to do in Shiva, you're allowed to do. There's no issa to wash for 3 weeks, and there's no issa to not to wear shoes for 3 weeks. So obviously it's not Shiva. And the truth is, it's not really Shloshim either, because there are things that are also in Shloshim, but we don't find they're also during the 3 weeks. So it must be, says the Rav, that it must be patterned after Yud Beis Chodesh. So the truth is, that makes a lot of sense, because the two things that are singled out that's not doing during the Svira, not doing during the 3 weeks, are haircuts and chasidus, which are two of the things that the Gemara mentions, someone for who's an avelus or a parent is not permitted to do for the entire year. They're not allowed to be nichlus to beis hamishnah. They're not allowed to go to a party, and they're not allowed to get haircuts. So therefore, the Rav said it must be that the minhagim of the 3 weeks were instituted. They're paralleled to what the din of avelus is in terms of Yud Beis Chodesh. That's the case, says the Rav. So we have to look back at the Yud Beis Chodesh and see what is an avel of Yud Beis Chodesh allowed to do vis-a-vis haircuts. So the Gemara says that although an avel during Yud Beis Chodesh is not allowed to get a haircut, there's an exception to the rule. The exception to the rule is Achi Garba by Chaverov. If he reaches a point where he looks like such a wreck, such a mess, that his friend tells him, listen, you look like a mess, you look like a shlump, go get a haircut. The Birka Yosef and Chazavelis writes that no one has to actually tell him to go get a haircut. If he looks messy enough that someone who had chutzpah would tell him, everyone's nice, no one wants to insult the person, but Lamaisa, he knows that he needs a haircut. That's called Achi Garba Chaverov. So in Hilchos Yud Beis Chodesh, that's the halacha that once you reach Achi Garba Chaverov, so then you're permitted to get a haircut. There's a further shaila, Rabbi Kivenga has a suffix. Let's say a person is an Avelus Yud Beis Chodesh, he looks like a shlump, he goes and gets a haircut, and then 2 days later he wants to get another haircut. He doesn't look like a shlump again. So do we say that Achi Garba Chaverov, once you reach that point, then it becomes Hetter Gamor? But do you say the clock starts over again, ticks again, and you have to, each time you have to wait Achi Garba Chaverov? So Rabbi Kivenga is mistopic about this. So Rabbi Moshe was about this shayla in Hilchos Avelos, and others were makel on this shayla. So the Rav was makel on this shayla. So the Rav held that this is the scenario: a guy who shaves every day, so he's going to reach Achi Garba Chaverov fairly quickly. So after a couple of days or two, he's going to look already messy. So someone's going to say to him, "Go get a haircut. All right, go shave." So he'll shave. Then the next morning, he doesn't have to wait to be told again. I mean, it's always Achi Garba Chaverov. It's by definition going to be Achi Garba Chaverov. So according to the Rav's cheshbon, if you have a guy who has a regular beard, so a guy has a beard, so if he doesn't trim his beard for 3 weeks, probably no one's going to notice. But a person who shaves every day, so then that's considered to be enough of Achi Garba Chaverov, and therefore basically could shave during the 3 weeks. So in one fell swoop, the Rav just did away with the whole quote-unquote issa, the whole minig of shaving during the 3 weeks. It doesn't exist practically for a person who shaves all the time. So this would be true both for Svira as well as during the 3 weeks. So it's a big nafkamina between the Rav and Ramayisha. Ramayisha was only making the Shasad Chak for the guy who has a Hefsid Mamun or Parnos issue, and it's case-by-case basis, according to the Rav. It becomes a heter basically across the board. So there are different minhagim about this. And those who have those who follow the Pesach on the Rav, follow the Pesach on the Rav. Those who don't always follow the Pesach on the Rav, don't follow this particular minhag. So yesh v'yesh, of course in Yeshiva, but it's always yesh v'yesh. A different minhagim in our Yeshiva, in our summer camps as to the permissibility of lack of shaving during the 3 weeks. There is some with a pshara, nothing to do with Ramosh and the Rav. There are those who have a tradition that certain yeshivas, they have a tradition that they shave on Erev Shabbos, that during the 3 weeks and during a Svira, because they feel that the Kavod Shabbos is a real din, and this whole issur of shaving is a shaky, at worst it's a minug, so maybe Kavod Shabbos is more important than this. So yeah, that's a third possibility. There's some people today who practice this position. The poskim say that if a person has a personal yontif, then he would be permitted to shave and even to get a haircut during the 3 weeks. So a person's making a bris. So a person is a bal bris. So there are three people who are bali bris. The father of the baby is a bal bris. The sandik is a bal bris. And the moel is a bal bris. So in theory, you have a moel running around every day doing a bris. So in theory, he could get a haircut every day during Svir, every day during the 3 weeks. Until Shavu Shechalpo, then really the poskim are a little, then it becomes more chomer, possibly, because then it's a real halacha. But kolzman that it's a mit, even that's a question. But even kolzman that it's only a minig, so then the poskim are say that it would be all right for a person who's labeled as a bal bris to otherwise violate these otherwise minhagim. So these minhagim that we have during the 3 weeks, the two that are rooted in terms of Ichus Avelos is the Yisr of getting married and the Yisr of haircuts. There's a third minhag that we have during the 3 weeks that even the Shulchan Aruch, who otherwise doesn't have the minhagim of Avelos in the 3 weeks, the Shulchan Aruch even quotes this, and that's the practice of not saying Shechianu during the 3 weeks. That has nothing to do with Ichus Avelos. We spoke about this in the Yom Tov time, Shavuos, for Shavuos, something that an Avel is permitted to say Shechianu. The Gemara says Befeirish that an Avel is allowed to say Shechianu. The Gemara at the end of Bracha says that sometimes a person could say Shechianu as he becomes an Avel. Gemara says that if a person gets a tremendous amount of money, so then he says Shechianu on the fact that he just marviach a lot of money. So the Gemara speaks about a person who just got a big Yerusha. So he may not be happy, and he may be terrible sad that the person died, but it may be an opportunity to say Shechianu as well. So an Avel is allowed to say Shechianu, that's not a question. But the Minig Yisrael is not to say Shechianu Dafka during this time, because it's not appropriate to say Shechianu v'kiyamar v'yanel hazman hazeh. Wow, we're zoichah to come to the time for the 3 weeks. The 3 weeks is not a good time for Klal Yisrael, so therefore we don't say lazman hazeh. So there are different minhagim within this minig. So there are some who say that on Shabbos one would be permitted to say Shechianu, others say that the minig is even on Shabbos. For many of us, it's not too relevant, because many of us never say Shechianu, myself included, that we say Shechianu on Yom Tov, and that's it. That the Shechianu of new clothes, and the Shechianu of new fruit, and all these kinds of Shechianus, so a very, very shaky bizman hazeh, because Reb Moshe writes that it's hard to say Shechianu on new fruit in America, because the whole Shechianu was instituted by Chazal in the olden days when there was a season for fruit. You couldn't get an orange for $1 million, you couldn't get an orange at the wrong time of the year. Whereas today, so what's the Shechianu? You go into any normal fruit store, you get whatever you want, any time of the year. So the guy, he ate a peach for the first time. Okay, it was a big simcha, he ate a peach for the first time. He could have had a peach last week also. He would have gone to a fruit store, he would have gotten a peach. So the whole concept of the Shechianu Bizman is a little bit shaky, according to Reb Moshe. It's a little bit of a downer on Tu B'Shvat time, but that's what Reb Moshe writes in his tshuva. And the issue of saying Shechianu on Kelim Chadashim, on new clothing, and other kinds of articles. So the Rav questioned whether that's true also. The Rav said, Bizman is that guy buys a suit, a sim, does this bash every 2 weeks. A guy buys 5 suits a year. So he buys a new suit, so that's a Shechianu. What kind of Shechianu is that? That's not such a tremendous simcha. So if you put together a Moshe's cheshire with a new fruit and the Rav's cheshire with the new clothes, it turns out you almost never have Shechianu. So this din in Shulchan Aruch, by not saying Shechianu during the 3 weeks, doesn't become too irrelevant. The Poskim write that the Bracha of Shechianu can't be said, but the Bracha of Atova Meitiv can be said, because the Tova Meitiv doesn't mention Shechianu v'kimar v'yom lazman hazeh. It's a different bracha, and there's nothing wrong with making a bracha in the 3 weeks. It's just that the nusach of lazman hazeh shouldn't be said. So the Gemara says that if a person buys something new, something expensive, if he's single, he's going to use it himself, then the bracha Shechianu. But if he buys it on behalf of his wife and his family, then the bracha said Hatova Meitiv. So the bracha of Hatova Meitiv is usually said by us. Let's say a person buys a new house, a person buys a new car, so something which is very, very, he's very excited about. A guy leases a car. That's not such a great simcha. If a guy buys a new car every year, it's also not such a simcha. A guy buys a new car once in 10 years, so that's a pretty big simcha. So then he should recite, if he's a single bachur, he recites Shechianu. If he's married, then he recites Atov HaMeitiv. So the poskim say that
if he uses the car, why does it make a difference if he's single or married?
So the Gemara says that if it's a type of thing that only he's going to use personally, then it's Shechianu. But if it includes Tova for other people, then it's a Tova Meitiv that Hashem gives Tovas to everybody. So unless he doesn't let his wife drive the car. So if he only pours the car for himself, then he says Shechianu. But if a normal person whose wife drives the car also, so then he recites the Brach of a Tova Meitiv. So a Tova Meitiv can be recited. I remember somebody asked me a shayla once, they had to buy a new car, mamash, in the middle of the 9 days. We'll talk about that when we get to the 9 days, whether that's appropriate to buy a car in the 9 days. So whatever the case was, the guy was going to sell something, whatever it was, he had a head to buy the car during the 9 days. So I remember he called me up and asked me, should he say Shechianu in the car? So I said, you're married, you have kids, so forget Shechianu. Say a Tova Meitiv, a Tova Meitiv. You could say on Tishbav also. It's also a bracha that's appropriate. So again, so these are the three things that basically appear in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, which are considered to be the halacha / minhagim of the 3 weeks. The idea of not getting married, the idea of not having haircuts, and the minhag of Shechianu, whatever the guidelines of that minhag are. There is a discussion in the contemporary poskim, which really goes back to the days of the Rishonim also, as to when exactly did these minhagim begin, these isurim of the 3 weeks. So when technically do the three weeks begin? So what do you mean, when do they start? Shavuos B'Tammuz, that's when they start. The question is, when in Shavuos B'Tammuz? Do they start in the morning of Shavuos B'Tammuz, when the fast day itself starts? Or do they start the night before, when technically it's Yud Zayin Tammuz on the calendar? Halach L'maaseh, can you have a chasana on Leil Shavuos B'Tammuz? Can you Can you get a haircut on Leil Shavuos HaBetamuz? Meshechiyanu Leil Shavuos HaBetamuz. So is the night of Shavuos HaBetamuz considered to be the beginning of the 3 weeks or not? What's the issue? So the issue is that halachically, Vayarvei Voker, Yom Echad, first pasuk in Chumash. So we know that the halachic day always begins the night before. Nevertheless, when it comes to Tainit Tzibur, so our practice is that we don't fast the night before. The only tiniest that we fast the night before are, of course, Yom Kippur, which is the pasuk Chumash, and Tisha B'Av, which the Gemara says is also even the night before. But the other tiniest only begin in the morning. Why is that? So the Ramban writes in Sefer Torah Adam that he thinks the reason is because our tiniest b'zman hazeh not really mikra din. The Gemara says in the first breath of Rosh Hashanah that the only time you really have to fast Shavuos HaBetamuz or Sabbatavis and some Gedalia is only when it's a Shasa Peronos, only when there are actual decrees against Klal Yisrael. But if things are not so terrible, not there's no Beis HaMikdash, but on the other hand, it's not a Mamash Zasha Sashmad, things are, you know, things are not so good, not so bad. So the Gemara says that then you're technically not mechuyev to fast on these tiniyos. Rotzu Mis'anin, Rotzu She'enim Mis'anin. But the Rishonim write that we have a tradition that Klai Yisrael accepted upon themselves, B'Torah Saminik, B'Torah Kabbalah Satzibor, that we fast on these days, even if it's not such a terrible time in Jewish history, even if things are not so bad, but it's still, there's a Minig Yisrael to fast on Shavuos HaBetamuz or B'Tavis and some Gedalia. So Me'ika Me'ika Adin, the real Takana of these tiniest, only applies B'Shas HaPeronos. The fact that we fast today is, one has to follow this, one's not allowed to break this Minig. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Aporetz Gedi Yishchenu Nochash, that the Gemara uses that phrase, for somebody who violates a Minig Yisrael, so Aporetz Gedi Yishchenu Nochash, if you break down the fence, then you're going to be bit by a snake, so we don't want to get bit by any snakes, so our Minig is that we follow this Kabbalah Satzibor, and healthy, normal people fast on these tiny hills, but it's only B'Torah's Minig, it's not B'Torah's the Ikar Adin. Therefore the Ramban writes, that since the whole Mechaib of these tiny hills was only the Minig Yisrael, so the Minig Yisrael was not to accept a full-fledged tinus. The Minig Yisrael was to accept a half-day tinus. The half-day beginning in the morning, but the night before doesn't apply. So the Ramban writes, if you lived at a time when there were gezeros, and it would be a real absolute halacha, would be a real bona fide isser to eat on these days, then the isser of tinus, the din of tinus, would have began the night before. Shavuos HaBetamuz, the Sarbetavis, and Gedai would have looked exactly like Tisha B'Av. The only reason why they look different for us is because our observance of these tinus is only B'Torah's Minig, not B'Torah's din, and the Minig was to be much more makil than the actual halacha was. That's the Ramban's theory in terms of these tiniest. That's the reason why the Ramban also says why we don't observe the Ilus HaSandal on these days, why we wear shoes on Shavuos HaBetamuz. If Shavuos HaBetamuz would be a real tiniest, or a real tiniest carries with it the other Isurim of tiniest, of Nidos HaSandal, Rechitza, Sikha, etc. So the fact that we're making, we wash ourselves in these days, there's a minig that some have, Mishnah Berurah quotes a minig, not take showers, unless it's some big shas of chach, not take showers on a tiniest tibor. But the fact that Mikra Adin, you're allowed to shower in a tiny tzibur, Mikra Adin, you're allowed to wear shoes, Mikra Adin, you're allowed to anoint yourself in sikh, all these things are mutter. So says the Ramban, the only reason why these things are mutter is because the whole time is not a real din in the first place. If it would have been a real isser, then all these things would have been also. That's what the Maram Ruthenberg writes. That's the reason why pregnant women don't fast on these days either, on Shavuos HaBetamuz and Tzom Gedai and Aser B'Teves. So pregnant women and nursing women don't fast. The Maram Ruthenberg writes is because if it would be a real halacha, it's a real halacha, it's a real halacha. If a woman is pregnant, she's not necessarily ptura from fasting on Tisha B'Av, a pregnant woman, unless there's some very real complication. The Gemara says that pregnant nursing women have to fast on Tisha B'Av like they fast on Yom Kippur. But on Shavuos HaBetamuz, the only reason why we're so makel for pregnant women and nursing women is only because the whole time is in the first place is not a real din. The whole thing is a minig, so the women never accepted upon themselves to fast. That's the law that Maram Ruthenberg writes. The pregnant, the nursing women, Gemara says, Rotzu Mis'anin, Rotzu She'enim Mis'anin. They voted not to be Mis'anin. The pregnant women, they abstained from the Kabbalah Satzibur, so for them, it's mutter. I've told all this story in the past about a conversation I once had with a woman in a certain prominent Jewish community. We'll leave out the name of the community for now. That we were visiting for Shabbos, and it was Shavuos HaBetamuz fell out on Shabbos that year, so it could be a nichah to the following day. So we were sitting with family at Shal Shudas, and one of the women piped up that, oh, she doesn't fast on Shavuos HaBetamuz. Okay, fine, forgive me, she's either pregnant, she's nursing, okay, Mishka Felach. So then she continued her conversation, said that the minig in our family is that none of the women fast on Shavuos HaBetamuz. The minig. Call it a minig. The minig is from Europe, the minig was, they didn't fast on Shavuos HaBetamuz. So I turned around to the person next to me and I said, oh, they hold on, think about Rotzu Mis'anin and Rotzu She'enim Mis'anin. So they decided they don't want to be Mis'anin. So, but that's not the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Pismanas, everybody has to fast. So what's going on? So what probably happened was as follows, that in the good old days, whatever you want to call them, the days of Europe, so girls got married very, very young. I remember my grandma told me that when her grandma got married at the age of 14, so she was already old, was already a shidduch Christ at the age of 14 in Europe. So she got married at the age of 14, so they would get married right after Bas Mitzvah, or before Bas Mitzvah, whatever it was, they would get married, so then they would become pregnant, then they'd become pregnant, nurse, until the end of their life. So people didn't live that long in Europe, so women never remembered that they're supposed to fast on Shabbos and Batamos, so they were always pturos, but if you live in at a time when the women are not pregnant, they're not nursing, so they're not supposed to fast. There's no reason that a woman shouldn't fast on Shabbos and Batamos. There is no such minhag. There's no such minhag that women don't fast on Shabbos and Batamos. But maybe it was started in some camp when it was hot. They told the girls they don't have to fast, but there's no such thing. So anyway, unless you're a brisker, the men also don't fast on Shabbos and Batamos. They say that the real briskers, so Rav Chaim held that since that loch is that a cholosh ein besakana is not mechuyev to fast, even a tishbav a cholosh ein besakana is not mechuyev to fast. So Reb Chaim held that bezman hazeh people are so weak, people are so shvach, so we're all like a cholosh ein besakana bezman hazeh. So therefore mikra din one is not mechuyev to fast. So the real bona fide, the real mekor briskas, so didn't fast on Shavuos and Batamos, didn't fast on tishbav either, because they held they were all cholosh ein besakana. So those who follow all the briskas shitas, I should follow that also. So those who are machped on chadash and those who keep Shabbos till 3 o'clock in the morning, and those who never carry, and those who have all the other chumras of all the briskas. So those who blow 400 kailos at every Rosh Hashanah, and those who start the seder at the 10 minutes before chatzos, and those who eat 40 matzahs for kazayin, every chumra of all the briskas, then they can keep this kula. It's not worth it. The chumras outweigh the kulas in this one. But those people who follow regular poskim, so we don't follow this hanhaga of Reb Chaim. There's a famous story about the Rav's mother, when the Rav's mother, Pesha Soloveitchik, was married to Ramesh Soloveitchik, so her father was a Rav, Leo Feinstein. So she was a Feinstein, she was Mishpach with the Moshe Feinstein. So apparently at her wedding, so Rav Chaim told her that she shouldn't fast, because the minhag Yisrael, not that you fast on the day of a chasana, but it's only a minhag. So Rav Chaim held the shitasa that we're all cholosh ever sakana. So cholosh ever sakana doesn't fast on Tishabov, according to Rav Chaim. So Kavah Chomer doesn't fast on his day of his wedding. So the way the story goes is that Rav Chaim went over to her at the time of the Chasson Tishabov, she was in the other room. So he said to make sure to eat something today, because you're a cholosh ever sakana. So the way the story goes is that she said that I'm not a brisket yet or something. So I follow my father. My father told me I'm supposed to fast. So she was trying to be machmir between her father and Rav Chaim as to whether it was appropriate to fast. Anyway, whatever it was. But again, most of us don't follow this practice. Getting back to the Ramban. So the Ramban says that the Zman Hazeh, our tiniest tzibur, very, very watered down tiniest tzibur. They're not the real McCoy, therefore they don't start at night, and they don't include all the Inuyim, and they don't include the Mubaras and the Menikos. They're very, very different tiniest tzibur than they used to be. Of course, with the exception of Yom Kippur, which is the rice, and Tishmof, which is a real takana, that it has to be a full-fledged tainus. So the question becomes, now that Shavuos and Batamos technically doesn't start till the next morning, so how do the minhagim of Shavuos and Batamos play out? The minhagim of the 3 weeks, do the minhagim start the night before or not? So should we say that Lamaisa, it's Shavuos and Batamos on the calendar, it says 17th day of Tamos, so if tonight is Shavuos and Batamos, you can't have a chasani, you can't get here, you can't say Shechianu, but you say no, that the clock doesn't begin to tick until the tainus begins, so it's not technically Shavuos and Batamos yet, so the minhagim of the 3 weeks don't begin. So this was a big machlekes hapelskim. So Rav Moshe writes in a tshuva that he thinks this was a machlekes harishonim in terms of uchos tainus. The Gemara says that something that we don't practice today, the Gemara says that on a tainus tzibur, so you have to say aneinu at all of the tfilos. So we have a minig, Rashi quotes the name of the Gaonim, we have a minig that we don't say aneinu at shachris and a tainus tzibur, because we're afraid that maybe the person won't finish the tainus. It's only 8 o'clock in the morning, it's a long day, so maybe by 9 o'clock he's going to get hungry, he's going to get sick, he's going to have to eat. So therefore it would be inappropriate for a person to say aneinu in the morning, because nimtza shachron b'tfilosai. But the Gaonim were concerned, it's going to look like you're lying, you're saying aneinu b'yom sometani seinu, and then the guy ends up eating. So Rashi quotes such a minig from the Gaonim, that's our practice. That's why only the Shulich Tzibur says it, but we assume someone in the Tzibur is going to finish the Tainus. So we assume that Mstama Minyan will finish the Tainus. So by for the Chazar Sashats, we're safe to say it, but for the Yechidim, we wait till Mincha. If you made it all the way to Mincha, so then the odds are you probably make it to for the rest of the day, so therefore you can say Aneinu. That's what Aminig is. So even though Medina de Gemara appears, you have to say Aneinu even in Shacharis, Aminig is not to. So the Rishonim have a Machlaikis. What was the old din before this Minig of the Gaonim started to not to say Aneinu? It's not Ma'akev Aneinu. So before this Minig started of not saying Aneinu in Shacharis, what about the night before? Would they say Aneinu at the night of Atinus? Let's say it's going to be Shavasa Batavus tomorrow, and now we're davening Ma'ariv now, and we're mamash eating tonight. We're going home to eat supper tonight. Should we say Aneinu or not? So this was the Machlekes Rishonim. So Rashi writes in the Sefer Shabbos that yes, that in the old days when they used to say Aneinu at Shacharis, they would say Aneinu the night before also, because it's already a yom. Aneinu b'yom, sometimes say Aneinu. The same way you start saying Yalav b'yom the night before, you say Yalav Nisim the night before. You daven Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei for Ma'ariv, so you daven a Tainus Tefillah the night before. And the Balamor writes that even in the days of the Gemara, they never said Aneinu the night before. How can you say Aneinu if you're not going to fast the next day? So what shaykh to say Aneinu? So this was a Machlekes of Rishonim. So Moshe says, oh, you see from here that what's the Nekudas of Machlekes? The Nekudas of Machlekes is, how do we view the night of Atinus? Is the night of Atinus basically the beginning of the Atinus? It's just a technicality, you don't eat until, you don't start till the morning. Or do you say, no, that the Atinus only begins mamash at the crack of dawn, only in a Losa Shachar, the night before is garnish, it's not Atinus altogether. So Moshe writes, my nafkamina, for us, we eat the night before anyway, and I'm in because we don't say then even in Shachar, so my nafkamina. So Moshe says, this is the nafkamina. That the Minhage Yisrael of Shavasa B'Tamuz begin on the day of Shavasa B'Tamuz. So what's called the beginning of Shavasa B'Tamuz? So according to Rashi, the night before is the beginning of, it's already Shavasa B'Tamuz, it's already Yom Tzom Tani Seinu, so it's already the Ben HaMitzarim, it's already a set time, so you shouldn't have a chast, you shouldn't get a haircut, you shouldn't say Shechiyonu, etc. According to the Malamor, it's nothing, it's zero, nothing starts until the morning. It means Bayer Vayvok, it doesn't apply to Tainus Sifa, it doesn't apply to Shavasa B'Tamuz, so it doesn't apply to the three, it's not Shavasa B'Tamuz yet. So Ramesha says to like is Rashi in the Balamor. How should we follow him? Moshe says, so these shilas relevant for us only in Hagim anyway, because the whole 3 weeks is only a minute. So Moshe writes, no, if it's Shas and Chak, if you want to be Mekel on the night before, so you can be Mekel, Kedai Balamor is Mechalov, for a question of a minute. He says that it's not Mechatchil, you know, why should you plan, you shouldn't plan a wedding for this. Moshe didn't advocate planning a wedding for the night of Shavuos B'Tamuz, but the shilah that came to Moshe was, the particular shilah was, that the wedding had already been planned. So they already put down the deposit, they already sent invitations, then somebody dawned on somebody that the wedding was in the night of Shavuos B'Tamuz. Moshe says, you don't have to lose money, it's the whole thing is only a minute, and it's Mechlekes of Rishonim, and Kedai can rely on the Balamor if you already planned the chasen the night before. That was the psak of Moshe, because yeah, Mikra didn't even hope them, don't start until the daytime. So the Rav apparently disagreed with that psak. The Rav felt that everybody agrees that the night, it's Shavuos B'Tamuz, it's already Ben HaMitzarim. The Yom is already Chav. Everybody Bokha Yom Echad applies to Shavuos B'Tamuz also. So why does some Rishonim say, why does the Balamor say that you don't say Aneinu? So the Balamor held that, how can you say Aneinu if you're eating supper? He said Aneinu is a function, not of the Yom Shavuos B'Tamuz, it's a function of Yom Tzom Tani Seinu. So late Sonos, the guy's having a barbecue that night, and he's saying Yom Tzom Tani Seinu. It's a joke, it's a stira. So that's why the Balamor was opposed to saying Aneinu, and not because it's not the day, not because it's Shavuos B'Tamuz. It is Shavuos B'Tamuz, but it's not Zman, it's Yom Tzom Tani Seinu, so therefore you can't say Aneinu. So the Rav thought that it wasn't appropriate for a person to do these kinds of things on the night of Shavuos B'Tamuz. So this shayla comes up all the time. It comes up for shaving. Very often a person remembers that he doesn't want to shave during the 3 weeks, and he went to shave Erev Shavuos B'Tamuz, and he forgets. And he wakes up, it's 11 o'clock at night, he goes, oh, tomorrow's a tainus. Oh, yeah, I already have a two-day beard, so he wants to start to shave now. So is that okay or not? So I remember once it happened in Marsha Kol, one of the Bachim came to Rabbi Willig on the night of Shavuos B'Tamuz and asked him, can I shave now? So Rabbi Willig said, my mother shavuot's mutter. He said, why? According to Ramosha, it's the night. So according to Ramosha, it's really mutter to do anything on the night of Shavuos B'Tamuz, Mikra did. And according to the Rav, it's mutter to shave even tomorrow. It's mutter to shave even mamash in the 3 weeks. Because it's actually garba chaverim. So mamash shachat mutter, he says, you're not mechuyev to put together the chumras that will be machmir for Rav Moshe's isser of shaving and the Rav's isser that thought that I thought. That was his interesting chap in terms of this. Look at chile, you should shave beforehand. You have to get involved in shalom. To start off the 3 weeks of shalom, this is shayla, just be normal and shave the day before. So look at chile, you should do everything, whatever you're planning on doing. Your haircuts and your shaving, everything should be done the day before. The only time that everybody agrees to the Rav is if Shavuos B'Tamuz falls out on the Shabbos and it's nidcha to Sunday, so then everybody agrees that the night of Yud Ches you can't do anything because it's mamash 3 weeks already. It's not Yud Zayin B'Tamuz, it's already Yud Ches B'Tamuz. The fact that we didn't fast the day before, that was a technicality because it was Shabbos, but in terms of of the day. So the yom was already chal. The minhagim of the 3 weeks were already chal at that point. So kopanim, we have this a little bit of a background in terms of the minhagim of the 3 weeks. Hopefully, by next week, Moshiach will be able to talk about this. But if not, so then hopefully by next week, we'll begin to try to talk a little bit about the halachas and the minhagim of the 9 days. So I think our schedule is hopefully mitzvah next week. We'll have a shiur. The following week, I won't be here Sunday morning. But hopefully, the week after that, I will be here. And then I think after that we'll break for the summer. So I think the way it looks now, the calendar looks now, we have 2 out of the next 3 weeks.
Thank you very much.
July 6th.